Good morning, everyone, and a very warm welcome. And today is, of course, our gift day. I was waiting for the children to come in and then realized, no, they're going to bring forward the presents. Would you like to receive them? June and Jim, on behalf of the Salvation Army, will receive the presents, those that are already under the tree, and there's loads there. Thanks, everybody who's brought a gift. And now the children have more to add to it. Wow. How wonderful to be part of a church where we have so many children who come in and with beaming smiles give presents to people they don't know. I mean, they know June and Jim, but they know that those presents are going to be given to boys and girls who maybe don't get anything else this Christmas because their mums and dads don't have much money at all. Wonderful. We're here to worship God. And I've forgotten the intimations, but we're here to worship God even through the intimations. This afternoon at 5 o'clock will be our reflection service. Next Sunday, it's our nativity service, and I see a few crowns around already. And so rather than being in the church next Sunday, we'll meet down in the large hall at 11 o'clock, always a day to be enjoyed. This Sunday at 3 o'clock in St. Nicholas Church, Lanark, is their choir concert. And I know from experience it's a wonderful concert. So, and our organist Audrey is involved, so that makes it even better. So if you can fit that in between the church and the reflection service, do please go along to Lanark. And the one other intimation which is not printed, would all elders please stop back just for a few minutes at the end of the service? We just want to quickly approve something. We have at last, and I say at last, thanks to the Royal Bank of Scotland, who have not made life easy, but we have now got a separate bank account set up for our Building and Development Fund. So we just need a brief meeting to confirm details of that. Any other intimations I've forgotten? Speak now, because there's usually something I've forgotten. Actually, I think there might be one or two birthdays around. Nobody putting their hand up. Somebody's putting his head down. Well, I know earlier this week, Elma celebrated her birthday, but is it actually today, Bill? Bill? Tomorrow. It's Bill's birthday. Can I tell them how young you are? Let's just say it's a big birthday. Yeah, he's doing that times 10. So can we sing Happy Birthday, Audrey? Sorry for not warning you on that. We're here to worship God. God is love, and we are all his beloved children. And we can only love one another because he first loved us. And God's love is a perfect love which drives out fear. That's why all the angels always say, "Don't be afraid." So we're going to begin our service. This is the second Sunday in Advent, and the Sunday that we speak about peace, as well as being our gift day. Our psalm for today is just four verses from Psalm 72. Endow the king with your justice, O God, the royal son with your righteousness. May he judge your people in righteousness, your afflicted ones with justice. Praise be to the Lord God, the God of Israel, who alone does marvelous deeds. Praise to his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. So we're going to sing the new hymn that we started last week, and we're going to go right through to verse 7 this morning. For those who weren't here last week, the tune is the same tune that you would normally sing, "You Canny Shove Your Granny Off a Bus." So I'm sure you all know the tune, but Audrey will help us. Very well sung, everybody. I think everybody enjoys that one, don't they? And although we're not at Christmas yet, I kept going to the verses about the wise men, because that's the bit of the story that we've got up to, because I've been telling you a little bit each week, haven't I? We spoke about the angel coming to Mary. Anybody remember about that? What happened? Yeah. Hmm? It was the first week. And last week was the shepherds, yeah. And what was the week in between? Anybody? Yeah. Will we let Jack? Looking for a stable. Yes, I think it was.
Not looking for a stable, looking for an inn, but we had to use a stable instead.
That's right, looking for an inn, so they had to use a stable because the inn was full up. We have to be very precise. But the second Sunday in Advent, we spoke about Jesus being born, didn't we? And who did we have at this side of the church that day? Yes.
Baby Jesus.
It would be lovely if it was baby Jesus. And it was in a way, but it was baby Arthur as well. Tickle, tickle you too, I know it. We're all getting very excited. Were you going to tell me something, Jennifer? No, you just were stretching your hand up. So we've seen the angels telling Mary that she's going to have a special baby. We've seen Mary and Joseph going all the way to Bethlehem and not being able to find anywhere to sleep except a stable or an old shed, as Andrew told us. And then we saw the baby Jesus being born in that stable. And the shepherds coming and bowing down, because who told shepherds? Yes.
Once again, it was the angels.
Now, was it? Are you sure? Of course it was. It was a whole host of angels, wasn't it? I got you worried there, though. You thought you might have the wrong answer.
I
was just joking with you, wasn't I? So what we're going to speak about this week is the wise men. You're on fire this morning, aren't you? Yes, Rowan. We'll come to the Advent candle. Yeah. Oh, there's no flies on you. It's not just time that seems to be running past, but you kids are making it gallop. So the wise men, they lived a long, long, long way away in the east. Edinburgh's away in the east, but it was a lot, lot further than Edinburgh that the wise men lived. Maybe Egypt, maybe even further east than Egypt. They lived a very long way away, and they saw a star in the sky. And these men were so wise, they were so clever, that they understood what the stars meant. Because they'd been reading lots of books. Yeah. And they saw that this special star meant that there was a special king coming, was being born. So they set off to travel to follow the star. Yeah. How did they travel? Did they take the train? They went by camel. Yeah, I was trying to look and see if we've got a camel in the nativity, and we haven't. I suppose, right enough, it wasn't a donkey. It was camels, because they had a really, really, really long way to come. Mary and Joseph might have traveled on a donkey to Bethlehem, but the wise men came on camels because they had such a long way. And where did they go first as they followed the star? We'll have somebody different for a minute. Callum?
They were going to a stable.
They were going to a stable, but that wasn't where they went first, because they were looking for a king. And if you're looking for a king, would you think to go to a stable?
No.
Anybody else? They went to King Herod's palace in Jerusalem first. And was King Herod really happy to see them?
No.
A king is usually born in a palace, yeah.
But because Herod was an evil king, they said it, but then Herod was raging because he thought he was the only king.
This guy's really reading his Bible. This is wonderful. Yes.
See the king, the bad king, he used to kill baby Jesus. I know that.
The bad King Herod wanted to kill baby Jesus, didn't he?
But he didn't.
Yeah. But he didn't, because the wise men asked him where the baby was going to be born. King Herod, as you rightly told me, was really angry because he wanted to be the only king. He didn't want any other kings, but he pretended that he was going along with the wise men and helped them to find out where the special king was to be born. And they hunted the scriptures. What did they find? Where was this king to be born? Sorry, were you going to tell me something different, Kyle?
Yeah, it's just that on the way, the angels appeared telling them not to trust King Herod. It's just an easy way to get baby Jesus killed.
That's right. The angels warned the kings not to trust King Herod. But King Herod's experts in the law found out where this special king, the king of the Jews, was going to be born. And where was that going to be? Yes, Laurel.
Stable.
In a stable. And where was the stable? Yes, Jack.
In
Bethlehem. Yeah. So the wise men left Jerusalem and they went to Bethlehem. And the star guided them to the stable. Or possibly a house. But it certainly guided them to where a baby Jesus was lying.
Yeah. And that night, Joseph was dreaming about going to Egypt. So that the other morning they went to Egypt before King Herod to get there.
That's absolutely right. But Joseph went to Egypt a wee bit later on. We're missing out the bit that I wanted to speak to. Can I backtrack a wee bit?
Backtrack.
Like rewinding. Thank you. So the wise men, what had they brought for this baby king? Who hasn't spoken yet? Yes.
Gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Gold and frankincense and myrrh. Gifts, presents for the king. And they bowed down. Now, this was a tiny baby, and these really important men realized how important he was, and they bowed down and worshipped him and gave his presents. And as we just sang in our hymn, I think when Mary saw them, her eyes must have rolled. Yes, Kyle.
Well, they're not just gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They each have a different meaning.
They do each have a different meaning, and we talked a lot about that last year, didn't we? But this year, we're talking about gifts. Have you seen what's in the windows around the church?
Yes,
presents
from God.
There's lots of presents, lots of gifts. And what's all around here? Lots of gifts and presents for the children who don't have very much. But in the windows, we've got the sort of presents that can't be wrapped up. And the sort of presents that don't cost any money.
That's funny.
So this one's joy to share. This one's hope. And this one, God gave us the greatest gift, his son, Jesus Christ. So when we come to Christmas and we all open our presents, let's remember that there are presents to give to other people. There are presents to give each other. There are presents that cost nothing and can't be wrapped up. And the greatest of all the gifts, all the presents, is Jesus Christ. Let's have a word of prayer together. Loving, living God, we thank you so much for our children, for the wisdom they have and the knowledge of the story of your birth and all that surrounded it. And we thank you for the wonder of gifts, all the many, many gifts that you have given us, for the gifts that this church is giving to the Salvation Army, and for the gifts that we will all exchange at Christmas. But most of all, we thank you for the greatest gift ever given or received, the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. So let's say together the words of the prayer that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now, next Sunday, you're all going to be telling us the Christmas story instead of me telling it to you. You're doing the nativity, yeah. But first of all, we haven't got any candles lit, have we? Oh, how many candles do we need to have lit today?
One
and two. Yeah, so I wonder if we could have Mary and Joseph. Could we have Mary and Joseph come out and light the candles today? Okay. Right, so now, do you know how to work this, Katie? Nope. Right, well, I hold it in and you point it at the candle. I think we might come round here and do these two, shall we? Because that one's burning down. So the first candle was for... What was it for? Can you remember? Dear me. And they say that old people forget things. What was the first candle for? Hope. Thank you. And the second candle, are you Joseph?
Yes.
Yeah. Right, you can manage this yourself, can you? Yes. Yeah. And the second candle, this candle today, that's it, is for, what have I mentioned already today?
Peace.
Peace. Oh, it's getting awkward, is it? Do you want a hand? Want to light one as well. Right, we'll make sure this one's properly lit, Ruby. Oh, look, because there's a wee bit there that's not quite lit. There we go. Super. Thank you very much, Mary and Joseph and Ruby. Super. So we've got hope and we've got peace. And have you got one more statement or is it a question?
Because the wise men's gifts weren't just for the baby Jesus, because they're like more for Joseph.
Right.
Because they're like oil. And a baby wouldn't want to play with an oil pot.
There's an interesting theological point which has been raised. That the gifts weren't really for baby Jesus, they were maybe for Joseph. And in many ways they were.
Okay.
Yeah. But they were also symbolically for it.
A baby can't play with an oil jar.
A baby couldn't play with the things that they gave, no. But the baby would grow up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we've got another new hymn to sing, which is to a really well-known tune. And you guys can sing a wee bit of it and then head off down to Jigsaw, because I think you've got a bit of practicing, because we're all looking forward to seeing you next week.
Yes.
You've got a lot to do still.
Yes.
Yeah.
Are we doing it?
You've forgotten your words?
No.
Oh, Rowan.
Of course I've forgotten my words. I've got a school one and I've got a Sunday school.
You've got school one and Sunday school.
Oh. And Sunday school.
Right, I think we'll sing this lovely new hymn.
Thank you.
We're so fortunate to have Tom Gordon. I think he's now retired as a Church of Scotland minister, but has a wonderful gift for writing hymns and putting them to tunes that we know, so that we sing them thinking that we've heard them lots of times before, but he only wrote it in October this year. Let's come before God in prayer. Loving, living God, you search us and know us. You know when we rise and when we lie down. You know our thoughts and all our ways. You know what we are about to say, even before we say it. You are behind and before us, and your everlasting arms surround us and comfort us. So we praise you, O God. Lord God, we are amazed that you care for us, that you pay such close attention to us, that you love us despite our faults and our failings, that you know all our strengths and all our weaknesses, and still you call us to work in partnership with you, the perfect, the one and only God. So we praise you, O God. Forgiving God, we recognize your grace and mercy in our lives. We know a few of our own limitations and acknowledge some of our failings. Help us this Advent to see more of what clutters our lives. We know we sometimes choose not to listen when you call us. We know sometimes we respond half-heartedly instead of giving you our full commitment. We know we sometimes busy ourselves with the ways of the world to avoid going your way or spending time with you. And yet still, you continue to call out to us. And so we praise you, O God. We praise you that you accept us, not because of how good we are, but because of how good you are. God of mercy and compassion, help us to openly receive your grace by which we are made new every day, given strength and wisdom, and are refreshed to go out each day to love and serve the world you made. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. We now come and to our Bible reading, and our almost birthday boy, Bill, is going to read for us. Just a quick note, the first reading from Isaiah speaks about the branch from Jesse. Just a quick reminder that Jesse, of course, was David's father. So this is like the family tree of King David, from whose family Mary and Joseph and therefore Jesus came.
A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his root a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with a rod of his mouth. With his breath of his lips, he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash round his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the goat, and the calf and the lion and the yearlings together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play round the cobra's den, and the young child will put his hand into the viper's nest. It will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountains, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the people. The nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious. In that day, the Lord will reach out his hand a second time to reclaim the surviving remnants of the people from Assyria and from Lower Egypt, from Upper Egypt, from Cush and from Elam, from Babylonia and from Hamath, and from the island of the Mediterranean. John the Baptist prepares the way. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. This is he who has spoken of, was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, preparing the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt round his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the river Jordan. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not think you can say to yourself, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe has been laid to the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the spirit of fire. His winnowing fork in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into his barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Amen.
Amen. And may God add his blessing to these readings from his holy word. And thank you, Bill. Our hymn before the sermon is number 264, "Judge Eternal, Throned in Splendor." Hymn 264.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Lord, may the questions on our lips and the wonderings of our hearts lead us to a deeper trust in you, our maker, mender, and muse. Amen. I've been using this prayer as an introduction to my sermon for a while now, and someone asked me this week what I mean by muse. And often when one person asks, it actually means that lots of people are wanting to ask but haven't got round to it. So I'll just spend a minute or two. The dictionary definition of muse as a noun is creative inspiration or a state of deep thought. When muse is used as a verb, it means to become absorbed in thought. So the reason I use this particular word is to try and embrace some of the mystery of God. We know that God is our maker and our mender, but he is so, so much more. God inspires us to think deeply and creatively, as God's self also is our creative inspiration, only to be found in our deep, wondering thinking and meditating. So that's why I use the word muse. Today's service is all about peace, as we've lit the second candle twice for peace. Our Bible readings today show that real peace, God's peace, includes righteousness and justice, and that peace will come when the time is right, when the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. I love that passage. Shalom, which is the Hebrew word for peace, has a far wider meaning than our English word peace. Shalom means a right relationship between God and all of his creation, and a right relationship between all the different parts of his creation. And embraced within that is righteousness and justice. Isaiah paints a wonderful word picture for us of many different species of animal living together peacefully, with the young, including human children and babies, being completely safe. And I have a picture. This is a pastel picture done by Nancy Conant called His Peaceable Kingdom, which I thought captures beautifully what Isaiah was saying. He describes a wonderfully inclusive picture of that new heaven and new earth where all of creation at last stops groaning. So was this part of what inspired John the Baptist to prepare the way? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Yes, of course, John was preparing the way for Jesus, but not just for Jesus. Jesus' birth marked the beginning of that new thing God is doing. Jesus' birth marks the kingdom of heaven coming near. One of the things about John the Baptist, is that he was totally authentic. He lived what he preached. He lived at one with the environment, living out in the desert. And today, young Greta Thunberg has been described as a modern-day prophet, because she also practices what she preaches. Both Greta and John tell the truth, bluntly, not caring about other people's opinions of them. And both Greta and John call for us to change our lives, for that's what repent means. Thought-provoking to compare Greta and John the Baptist. Matthew's gospel speaks a lot about judgment, as we'll see during the coming year, Judgment has very negative connotations for many of us. Yet one of my favorite definitions of God's judgment is that it is God seeing things, seeing us, as they and we really are. God sees what is hidden under the clutter. In Jesus and Matthew's day, the people were living under Roman occupation. Oppression and crookedness were rife. I'm not going to draw any parallels to our present political position. Those listening to John would have welcomed judgment, as they longed for justice and freedom. But as today, we all prefer to see others being judged. We're not quite so keen when the spotlight turns on us. And John certainly speaks pretty brutally to the Pharisees and Sadducees who had joined in with the crowd coming for baptism. I like the way Eugene Peterson in The Message paraphrases this short passage. "Brood of snakes, what do you think you're doing slithering down here to the river? Do you think a little water on your snake skins is going to make any difference? It's your life that must change, not your skin." Harsh words indeed. John then compares his baptism, which is a baptism of water calling for moral reform, with the baptism which would begin with Jesus Christ, a baptism with the Holy Spirit and fire, which purifies lives and leads to actual inner change, a change of heart, which then leads to an outwards change of life. John then gives us one of his first images of judgment. Matthew gives us one of his first images of judgment. And this is one of my favorite. "His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Chaff is the husks of corn or other seed that is separated by the action of winnowing or threshing. Chaff is that part of the grain which has served its purpose. It protected the inner grain, the inner seed, but now it's useless. It's rubbish. So what I believe is meant by this is not that God's judgment separates good people from bad people, rather that the good in everyone is separated from the bad parts that exist in all of us. Eugene Peterson describes it this way. He's going to clean house, make a clean sweep of your lives. He'll place everything true in its proper place before God. Everything else he'll put out with the trash to be burned. Before I went on retreat a few weeks ago, I spent a bit of time, and I confess it was long, long overdue, tidying my desk. It had become so cluttered with pieces of paper, letters, books, notes, messages, that I really struggled to find anything. Now, although it's still far from perfect, I can actually see the beautiful wooden surface of my desk. And usually I can find what I'm looking for a little bit quicker than before. Now, knowing as I have learned over the years just how well God knows me, I suppose I wasn't hugely surprised when he used that image to relate to my own path of repentance. This poem by Joyce Rupp spoke deeply into my heart. "When I sort through the layered texture of what clutters and claims my spirit, I find you, deepest good, in residence. You shine like a piece of gold inside of me. In that tranquil, secluded district of soul, I discover my true, unblemished nature. Teach me that there is much more to me than just my struggle and my failure. Absorb me in the jewel of your love until I am fully one with you. Peace, shalom, that perfect relationship between God and us, between us and with all creation, becomes possible when we start repenting, decluttering not only our homes, but our minds and souls. For when we do, we find hidden deep within our hearts is God, shining like gold. That's what I see as the journey of Advent. Not traveling to a stable, but traveling the longest journey in the world, as they say, from our heads to our hearts. Traveling deep within our hearts to find Jesus waiting patiently, shining through all our clutter, waiting and longing to love us, and through us to bring peace and love to the world, to bring that peaceable kingdom on earth as in heaven. Amen. On this, our gift day, let us now continue our worship with the giving of our gifts and offerings. Let us pray. Loving, living God, you are the source of life and the source of peace. Lord, we ask that you receive all these gifts and use them for the growth of your kingdom, here and forth and throughout the world. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. Our next hymn is but it's 12 o'clock. So let's stop and say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Having said the Lord's Prayer, let us sing hymn 334, On Jordan's Bank, the Baptist Cry. Invite Robert to lead us in prayer.
Let us come before the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. God of all goodness, we thank you for the prophets of every generation, people with strong wills, strong voices, strong opinions, and strong beliefs, who have spoken out with clear voices. We thank you for protests and protesters who challenge society and its thinking. In grateful prayer, we bring our thanks for all who see what is going wrong in the world and who have worked to try and make it better. For you are a God who longs to see justice and peace in your world. And we pray this morning that through your power and through your people, you will set wrongs right. Whatever there is persecution and abuse of power. Through your power and through your people, you will set wrongs right. Wherever there is hunger, poverty and disease, through your power and through your people, you will set wrongs right. Wherever gifts are squandered and misused, through your power and your people, that you will set wrongs right. Wherever your church does not do your will, that through your power and your people, you will set wrongs right. Wherever people are damaged and hurting, through your power and your people, you will set wrongs right. Give us, Lord, your power and help us turn our desire to make things better into actions which promote peace and justice. All this we ask through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Robert. And just before our closing prayer, there's quite a bit of baking and cakes and things available at the back, which are left over from the sale yesterday, which was raising money for Planet Earth Club. And I believe it raised £345, a little boost for our Planet Earth Club. So even if you can't stop for a coffee, do go round past the table and help yourself to a cake, please. Hymn 336, to one of my favourite tunes, Highland Cathedral, Let's Stand and Sing, Christ is Our Light. As we go out into the world, and as June and Jim take these wonderful gifts to deliver them to those in need, Lord, help us to know your peace. Peace within us, peace between us, and peace with you and the whole of your creation. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, rest and remain among each and every one of us today and forevermore.